Good afternoon. This is Bob Krueger with Thought for Food for December of 2020. This program is heard on the third Wednesday of the month at 4 p.m. and repeated on the third Saturday of the month at 3 p.m. It's intended for a blind and print-impaired audience, but hopefully will be of interest to everyone. When December shows up on the calendar, we realize that this year, 2020, is about to come to an end. This has been a tough year because the coronavirus pandemic. Dates to remember this month are: remember Pearl Harbor Day on the 7th. Hanukkah begins on the 10th. The Bill of Rights Day is the 15th. Human Rights Day is the 16th. Winter begins on the 21st. Christmas Day is the 25th. And Kwanzaa begins on the 26th. Then on the 31st, we look forward to the first day of 2021. It's a culinary equivalent of a warm fleece blanket. Grilled cheese is a go-to on a cold and wet day, paired with a hot soup or on its own. Anyone can make it with inexpensive ingredients you probably have on hand, but it's how we choose to make a grilled cheese that makes us the story. While there are some universal truths about grilled cheese, which bread, cheese, or other ingredients enter the picture is completely up for interpretation, let's run through the background, the basic and better ways to make a grilled cheese, then share other folks' favorites, ideas. The grilled cheese we know today got a start in the 1930s during the Great Depression. Called a cheese dream, it was an open-faced slice of inexpensive bread with American cheese and sometimes ham or eggs with mayonnaise or mustard, broiled until brown, served with tomato sauce or soup as a Sunday dinner. Grilled cheese, in most cases, American cheese, nestled inside two slices of bread, usually white and coated with butter, is then grilled till the bread is just brown and the inside is melted. It's often paired with a bowl of tomato soup. American is often the go-to choice for grilled cheese because of how easily and quickly it melts. It's important to note that American cheese is processed. Butter creates a crust and added flavor. The white bread is typically too because it's inexpensive and is a blank canvas for the sandwich. Usually, most people use a skillet to make their sandwich, or if they have one, a sandwich press. Grilled cheese is a universally easy dish to make. Nothing about it's complicated. So if you're a takeout only, because my fridge is empty type of person, grilled cheese is probably one of a handful of things you can make. I can always use a few tips to make the basic grilled cheese better. Stale bread, older dryer bread, makes a better sponge for the butter and keeps its integrity better as it surpasses real butter. It should be softened to make spreading easier. Coat both sides of the bread, but don't go overboard or your bread won't grill right. You need to allow enough time to get the cheese melted, but you don't want to take over the melt because they're all different and adjust the heat accordingly. Basically, don't rush it. You really don't need anything fancy to make a decent grilled cheese sandwich. The skillet works fine, even better. Cast iron pan, which does a better job conducting the heat around the sandwich to get an even melt. Add-ins such as ham or bacon tucked inside are amazing, but they can't make up more of the sandwich than the cheese. Cheese is the star of the show, and these add-ons need to be supporting cast only. Not otherwise, it's a melt and not a grilled cheese. Let's go beyond American cheese and white bread, and here are some ideas. Roasted garlic spread inside of two slices of sourdough bread. Cheese for this combination would need to be Gruyère or cheddar, and ideas include thick slices of bacon or pickled jalapenos. Instead of American cheese, try smoked Gouda. Melts wonderfully with a slightly smoky flavor. Also try mozzarella cheese and coat the bread with infused butter, such as rosemary. Cheese can be salty, but why not add a dash of garlic powder, pepper, or hot sauce to the inside of your grilled cheese? Bread's another area where we can easily experiment. Rye is an excellent choice because it's sturdy. It has a nice crust and an earthy flavor. Some people have made their grilled cheese with raisin bread. Texas toast is a perfect choice when you're more generous with your cheese and add-ins. Cinnamon bread, apples and cheddars on whole grain bread, butter to coat, brie and strawberry jam. A lot of folks swear by the delicious crispy crust you get on a grilled cheese if you use mayonnaise instead of butter to coat the bread. Mayo users say it spreads easier and more evenly than butter. You know how to make them. If you want to experiment, go to it. Even with the unsettled future caused by the pandemic, many groups are making plans for the very near future. In November, the popular grocery chain Wegmans is looking to hire 900 employees ahead of opening new stores in Chapel Hill and Wake Forest, expanding its presence in the triangle beyond Raleigh and Cary. For its Chapel Hill location, the grocer will fill nearly 300 part-time positions. It began hiring full-time employees in August. Wegman said in a news release, 165 full-time positions remain for cooks and overnight workers. The store at 1810 Fordham Boulevard is scheduled to open in late February. Wegmans is also hiring around 200 full-time employees for its coming Wake Forest location at 11,051 Ligon Mill Road, which is slated for a May of 2021 opening. The jobs range from entry-level to culinary professional positions. As our company expands in North Carolina, there's a big opportunity to advance their careers, Wake Forest store manager Patrick McGinnis said in a news release. My team is looking for candidates who share our passion for food and are eager to learn and grow with us. We have many employees who begin in one position and move into different roles depending on their interests. Applicants ages 16 and older can apply for jobs online at jobs.wegman.com. Wegman hires and trains new employees long before store opening, so they have had some previous experience. Wegmans is not the only newcomer to the Triangle. Farmstead, an online-only grocery store that typically offers free delivery within a 50-mile radius of its warehouse, is coming to the Triangle early next year. The startup company announced it's the California startup's second East Coast expansion after opening in Charlotte earlier this fall. Farmstead CEO Pradeep Elkalumaran said North Carolina is an attractive target for the company because it has a good many mid-market consumers. And they could qualify that as those spending about $100 a week on groceries. And they often go to multiple stores to find the best deals. North Carolina's population is also growing quickly, which is a plus. Right now, the company has started a waiting list for new customers in the Triangle. About 50% of grocery shoppers primarily shop at Walmart, and there's another 10% of them shop only at Whole Foods, he said. And there's a vast number in the middle, over 70%, that shop at multiple stores every single week. Farmstead is not, however, the only one trying to win these customers. The Triangle has an incredibly competitive scene with companies like Wegmans, Publix, Aldi's, and Lidl continuing to open new stores here. Locally, Walmart, Food Lion, and Harris Teeter still have the largest market share, according to a 2019 chain store guide analysis. But that is in the flux as more stores open and others, namely Kroger, left the market altogether. Farmstead, though, is a different beast than these groceries. The startup is a dark store, online-only grocer. It doesn't have any in-store shopping options for customers. Instead, it runs micro-hub warehouses where it stocks food and then delivers through a network of drivers. It offers a mixture of local and national brands. Focusing only on delivery and online orders allows the company to eliminate many of the fees and inefficiencies that traditional grocers encounter. Backing it up is an artificial intelligence software that helps the company efficiently time orders and stock the right allocation of products. It's also selling that software to other groceries. Everything we do as a technology company is really to predict what's going to happen in the next few days so we can prepare for it, the CEO said. The software decides every day how much product is coming through the door. He added the company's selection is somewhat smaller than a traditional supermarket, but that's by design. A smaller selection helps keep down on food waste. And here's how it works. When it opened in Charlotte, the company started with about 4,000 products. The company's research in the San Francisco market showed that its assortment was still wide enough to capture about 90% of the customer's weekly basket of products. The company is still finalizing where its warehouse will be in the triangle. Typically, its warehouses are between 15,000 to 30,000 square foot in size. Founded in 2019, the company was in the online delivery game long before COVID-19 pushed many shoppers into adopting that method of shopping. It usually offers free delivery to customers within a couple of hours. The company tries its best to group deliveries to make deliveries more environmentally friendly, and it often gives shoppers the option to time their orders so they can be delivered when more efficiently with other orders. It also has a free weekly subscription program where customers can choose a time every week for the delivery of staple items. I'm afraid I'm not ready for this sort of grocery shopping. Even in tough times, some folks are making plans for the future. One of the most popular coffee shops in the Triangle is set to add a new cafe. Jubila Coffee, with locations in North Raleigh and on Hillsborough Street in downtown Raleigh, will open a third coffee shop in Raleigh's North Hills. The new cafe is projected to open in 2021. Beyond Coffee, the new Jubila will launch a pastry program and serve a larger food menu compared to their other locations. The new shop will have seating for 65 and offer weekend brunch when it gets up and running. North Hills is a connector and a leader in our city, and we can't think of a more perfect place to expand than North Hills Park Central alongside other friends like Arrow, Happy and Hale, and Vita Vita, said Andrew Cash, the owner of Jubila Coffee. We are excited to share a new coffee experience with North Hills visitors and to have the North Hills community join us as we create the Jubila our team has always envisioned, one that is fully engaged with supply chain, celebrating our success with the most vital participant, the farmer. Since it opened its first shop in North Raleigh's Lafayette Village, Jubila has been serving up high-quality cups of coffee and espresso drinks. Its second location on Hillsborough Street near NC State's campus in 2016, the company added a sister shop in the Transfer Company Food Hall, partnered with Raleigh Bakery Bolted Bread to launch wood-fired bagel shop Bench Warmers Bagels. The most significant difference for the third Jubila shop is the addition of coffee roasting. At the other locations, Jubila brewed a large range of coffees from Durham roaster Counterculture, even offering free espresso on Fridays for customers to try different varieties. The North Hills Jubila will start roasting coffee beans for the cafe. Mr. Cash says he first became enamored with coffee through coffee farmers during a 2001 trip to Kenya. Adding a roaster is a goal 20 years in the making, he said. While 2020 has been a year of pivots, 2021 will be a year of growth. Don't worry, free espresso Friday isn't going away. 100%, we'll still have free espresso on Fridays, he said. When Jubila North Hills opens next year, Mr. Cash said the shop's roastery will supply it and the other two shops with most of the coffee served in the cafe. The goal, he said, is to serve 70% of their proprietary roast plus Counterculture and other special roasts. One of the drivers in getting into roasting, Cash said, was employees reaching an employment ceiling at Jubila and leaving for roaster or other parts of the coffee business. There's an end game with employees. They become managers and we have nothing for them, Mr. Cash said. This is about having an impact on the coffee farmer and creating growth and opportunity in the company. He said the company has around 43 employees between the two shops, and will add cafe employees and a four-person roasting team from the new location. North Hills has seen some turnovers in its restaurant tenants since the pandemic, losing Peruvian Chicken Spot Via Chicken, Farrow's, and Be Good, but it has added a prominent North Carolina barbecue restaurant, the Barbecue Lab, a franchise version of Redneck Barbecue Lab in Johnston County. A specialty coffee shop has been on our wish list for a long time, so we're thrilled to welcome Jubala to North Hills, said John Kane, the CEO of Kane Realty Corporation. Jubala's commitment to its local community, its focus on customer experience, and the quality of its product makes it a perfect fit for North Hills Park District. I look forward to trying a cup of that special coffee. It's been a tough year for American restaurants. Fast food's been able to survive and could make further gains. It's no secret the coronavirus pandemic has devastated eateries. The National Restaurant Association said in October that at least 100,000 U.S. restaurants will close in 2020, twice as many as in a typical year. Overall, eating and drinking place sales in September are about 15% below their levels in January and February. The situation is better for some of the larger fast food chains. Yum Brands, which owns KFC, Taco Bell, and Pizza Hut, said in early November that the worldwide comparable figures show sales dropped by 2% in the third quarter. Starbucks said U.S. sales fell by just 9% in its most recent quarter, which ended in July. Pizza delivery chains continue to generate strong sales. Restaurants have had to adapt to changing customer patterns. Big chains have been far better equipped to handle the task. Customer traffic is still down sharply across the industry, but people are spending more when they actually visit. Because work-from-home policies eliminated the morning commute, those declines were particularly sharp at breakfast. It helps that the fast food business model is far better suited to off-premises sales than sit-down dining. For starters, a drive-through ordering system is more valuable than ever. Wendy's has said that it has a new appetite to consider the possibility of opening drive-through only restaurants. Taco Bell served 30 million more cars than it did a year ago in the third quarter. Yum Brands chief executive David Gibbs told the Wall Street Analyst in October that online orders for both delivery and carryout have become far more important. Chipotle Mexican Grill said third quarter digital sales tripled from a year ago and represented nearly half of the total revenue. Companies that had invested heavy in digital offerings before 2020, such as Chipotle and Wingstop, have reaped significant rewards. In the short term, the industry must grapple with a fresh round of obstacles. COVID-19 case counts are rising, and outdoor dining won't be realistic for patrons in many states as winter approaches. Customers are unlikely to receive another stimulus check anytime soon in wake of divided election results. More familiar challenges are also in store, even at higher sales volumes. It is important to manage costs carefully in a low-margin business. Some of this is beyond the control of the operators. For example, Domino's Pizza said in October that its food costs rose 3.8% from a year ago due to a rise in cheese prices. Prices for certain popular foods, such as chicken wings, are notoriously volatile, and the need to protect workers and customers from the virus have resulted in a whole slew of new costs, such as personal protective equipment and more frequent cleaning. What is more, companies have taken out extra debt to cope with business disruptions. That leaves less wiggle room to navigate a downturn. NPC International, a major franchisee of Wendy's and Pizza Hut restaurants, filed for bankruptcy protection over the summer. But the long-term outlook is promising. The effects of the pandemic have left commercial landlords scrambling for tenants. That bodes well for fast food chains, particularly those like Starbucks and Chipotle, that depend less on franchisees. The rise of independent eatery closures also means fewer competitors on the market, which improves the prospective financial return of opening new stores. Even before the pandemic, more than 50% of fast food was through drive-in window. Have you been able to find meat at your local grocery store? Tyson Foods Incorporated is using infection tracking algorithms and employee testing to shield workers at the biggest U.S. meat packer from a fresh surge in coronavirus cases and keep grocery store stocks, its chief executive said. The Arkansas-based company, like other meat packers, is spending heavily on protective gear and planning long-term defenses against COVID-19. Tyson CEO Dean Banks said the company is adding more space for workers at existing plants and signing new ones to include workstation dividers and other safeguards. U.S. meat giants like Tyson, Cargill, and JBS USA Holdings are working to defend against another rise in infection among workers after widespread outbreaks among workers in April forced these companies and others to shut dozens of plants across the country. By the end of May, more than 16,000 meatpacking workers had been infected and 86 had died, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Protection. Some supermarket operators had to ration consumers' meat purchases, and farmers had to euthanize tens of thousands of animals they couldn't send to slaughter. Meat companies began to issue mass check employees' temperatures and installing dividers between processing line workstations. Since spring, infection among workers have eased and meat production has rebounded. But record-breaking daily infection totals have the U.S. food sector again on edge for potential disruptions. Some grocery stores have reintroduced purchase limits on household staples, anticipating a surge in buying as states announce new restrictions on restaurants to curb the pandemic spread. Meatpacking executives say they are prepared for the winter months. Andre Nogueira, CEO of JBS USA, in October said the company was conducting tests among employees to monitor for outbreaks. Cargill, the top U.S. producer of ground beef, said it has slowed process lines to help space out workers. At Tyson's Springdale, Arkansas headquarters, Mr. Banks said he uses a company-developed web dashboard to keep tabs on the company's internal testing results. Tyson, in July, began a surveillance testing program that tests the number of employees at each plant every week. So far, Mr. Banks said, the company has tested more than half of its roughly 141,000 employees. Tyson's algorithm-based system compares positive employee tests with where they work in the plants, along with publicly reported infection rates in the counties and towns around its 241 U.S. processing facilities. The system helps Tyson get an early read on rising infection rates around its plants and decide when the company needs to step up employee testing. We can dial up the algorithm when we sense something is going on in the community, and we're much more prepared for a second wave, Mr. Banks, a former tech and healthcare executive. Right now, less than 1% of Tyson's employees are infected with COVID-19, the company estimates. Tyson is hiring about 200 new nurse and healthcare personnel for its plants and building 7 clinics near major facilities that will provide health care for the employees, often free. The company has said they estimate its coronavirus response will cost the company $340 million, cutting into profits for the company that supplies 1 in every 5 pounds of chicken, beef, and pork produced in the United States. The pandemic has also shaped many of the company's priorities since Mr. Banks took over as Tyson's CEO on October 3rd. He previously worked at Alphabet Incorporated's Advanced Research Subsidiary X, and at Tyson is helping lead an automation drive hastened by last spring's disruptions. Tyson is revamping the way it prepares some products to make them more easily shipped via e-commerce platforms, Mr. Banks said. He's been meeting with Tyson's restaurant and food service customers as they prepare to navigate the winter months. Here are some words of advice, not from me, but from the Tufts University's Health and Nutrition Letter. Never too old. The cardiovascular benefits of regular exercise in young and middle-aged are well established, but few studies have focused on whether physical activity pays off similarly in your 70s and beyond. Getting up and moving, even an extra 10 minutes a day, could help you live longer, according to new research published in the journal Medicine and Science in Sports and Exercise. Unlike studies relying on self-reported activity levels, subjects wore ultra-sensitive activity trackers called oscillometers for 7 days. About 3,000 participants ages 50 to 79 were followed for mortality over the next 8 years. The least active people were 5 times more likely to die during that period than the more active, and 3 times likely more than in those in the middle range for activity. When we compare people who exercise the same amount, those who sit less and move around more tend to live longer, said lead author Ezra Fishman of the University of Pennsylvania. The folks who were walking around, washing the dishes, sweeping the floor, tended to live longer than those people sitting at the desk. The trackers used for National Health and Nutrition Services that generated the data were highly precise, Fishman adds, because the device captures the intensity of activity so frequently, every minute we can actually make a distinction between people who spend 2 hours a day doing those activities versus people who spend an hour and a half. Though scientists didn't discover any magic threshold for the amount a person needs to move to live longer, even adding 10 minutes per day of light activity seems to make a difference. Replacing 30 minutes of sedentary time with light or moderate to vigorous physical activity produce even better results. You don't have to even get a good sweat to experience the reduced likelihood of mortality, Mr. Fishman said. Activity doesn't have to be especially vigorous to be beneficial. That's the public health message. These studies were not designed to prove cause and effect. It can't be fully ruled out that healthy people without cardiovascular disease are simply able to exercise more. Still, the findings proved to be robust in several sensitivity analyses, including excluding all participants who reported known diseases or any ill health. Considering all the plus, the strong relationship between exercise and heart health in younger adults, this is the advice he would give to an older member of his family. Some people might say, an 80-year-old grandmother or grandfather, do whatever you want, eat whatever you want. It doesn't matter anymore. Our research suggests there's a continuing substantial benefit to maintaining healthier lifestyles at all ages. We've run out of time for today's episode of Thought for Food. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Bob Kruger, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. If you have any comment or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. 919-832-5138.